Good evening. Come in, won't you? Why, what's the matter? Surely you're not nervous. Perhaps if you can't, if I tell you a story.
We are met to call from out of the past. Stories, strange and weird.
Tales of mystery and terror by radio's masters of the macabre.
Stories of the supernatural, the supernormal, dramatized by fact, the mystery, the unknown. We tell you this right. So if you wish to avoid the excitement and tension of these madmen, play, we urge you, calmly, seriously, to turn off your radio now.
Welcome back to the Horror Old Time Radio Horror Stories, brought to you twice a week by RelicRadio.com. Today, we'll hear from Quiet Please, a series that aired from June of 1947 to June of 1949, produced 106 episodes, first took to the air over Mutual stations, ended up on ABC. The story we'll hear today is titled Tanglefoot. This one first aired June 4th, 1949.
Quiet, please. Quiet, please. The American Broadcasting Company presents Quiet, Please, which is written and directed by Willis Cooper, and which features Ernest Chappell. Quiet, Please for tonight is called Tanglefoot. Back in the old days, when GI didn't mean general issue, it just meant galvanized iron, I used to be a plumber. There are no cracks about leaving tools in the shop when you go out on a job. Because if a plumber took along all the tools he's liable to need on a job he don't know nothing about till he gets there, he'd need one of those moving vans to tote him. Just the same, what you can do with a 14-inch Stilson wrench and a mitt full of oakum, you'd be surprised at. This place where I worked, well, you ever smell a plumbing shop? And I tell you what you smell. Oakum, first thing. Like creosote, that's what you start with. Linseed oil, that's from the red lead you use on the joints and stuff. You smell of hot lead where the kid's melting down scrap lead into little pigs you can put in your bag. Galvanized iron. Yeah, sure, you can smell galvanized iron. Go past the bins where they keep the L's and the T's and the street L's and the cuprins and the unions. All sizes. In 40 team sizes. You can smell galvanized iron, all right. Yeah, and there's a smell of rats that live back behind the bins. Gasoline burning in the blowtorches and the furnaces. And the thing I remember best of all, the smell of the flypaper. My heavens, there seemed to be flypaper every place. I don't know, maybe in the old days there was more of it, or there was more flies or something. Seemed like every place you went, you run into flypaper. Remember that smell? Like varnish with sugar in it? Like taffy that got spoiled? Kind of a fascinating smell in a sicky way. Think about it and you'd kind of think, yeah, no wonder the flies liked this smell and went for it. Smell? Sure, flies can smell. They got smellers that'll make a bloodhound jealous if you note it. And the flies got lots of things. Yeah, they got a jillion eyes, six fancy legs, wings, and a trunk like an elephant. Only littler, proboscis, they call it. Huh? Ah, not the flies. They can't talk. Boy, how do you break good? I know a lot about flies. I'll tell you about it. I can see it today. There was people living upstairs above the plumbing shop where I worked. That was in the summer of 1915, I guess, or quite a while ago. Their back porch hung over the back porch of the shop. made kind of a shed where we used to thread pipe, melt up scrap lead, stuff like that. And Ricketts, the horse, he used to be tied up back there in the alley with a wagon. When he was working back there, it was quiet and shady and hot. All you could hear was Ricketts stamping his feet and switching his tail at the flies, and maybe the gasoline furnace, and whoever he was working with talking kind of lazy and slow in the heat. Ah, boy, was it hot. I and Herbie, we was threading 3/4-inch black iron pipe.
You want the boat excursion tonight, Buck?
And what boat excursion?
Crawfish Club on the Percy Swing tonight.
Well, I thought it was tomorrow.
No, tonight.
Yeah, that's good enough. Get another length of pipe.
Hot, ain't it?
91 thermometers.
In the shade.
It's hot for old Ricketts out there in the sun.
His head's in the shade. What's he hollering about?
Flies, I guess.
You should put the fly netting on him.
Yeah.
Look out, don't step in the fly paper.
Fly paper every place. That Bert Kincaid's nuts about fly paper. Doggone stuff. Get it all over the place.
Well, that's where you're throwing it.
You thread up the pipe. I'll take care of the fly paper. You think with all that stuff around, there wouldn't be so many flies?
Flies are smart.
How do you mean, smart?
Well, not fly paper.
Fly paper's always full of them.
And them's the dumb flies. Smart ones look at it and smell it and fly away. Land on people, horses. Take a bite. You'll live longer.
I wonder how long flies live.
I don't know.
Too long.
Any more length of pipe we ain't threaded?
No. Here. I wonder what flies think about.
Eating?
That's what I'm thinking about. What time is it?
Look at that fancy new wristwatch of yours.
Busted.
Must be pretty near noon.
Gonna go home, do you?
Gonna go with me?
I wasn't hinting.
Heck, you wasn't.
Well,
no flies on you, but.
Oh,
Mom makes some ice cream she left for me.
Your mom home?
No, she went up to Peoria this morning. P.A. Bedner's got a sale or something.
Yeah, I could stop at Ruling's and get some boiled ham or something. We could make sandwiches.
Oh, we got some.
I'd get something, though, eating off your.
Yeah.
12 o'clock.
Let's go.
Did you hear anything start so simple and easy and not meaning nothing? Did I mean anything? Yeah, you get it in a minute. You get a lot of stuff you don't expect. It all started that way, though, with threading pipe and kicking fly paper around and stuff. We had up the ice cream at Herbie's house, sitting in the kitchen, where it was kind of cool. And gosh, I hated to go back to work.
I hate to go back to, but I'd like to lay down and take a nap or something.
Yeah, Bert Kincaid, can you?
Yeah. Wish that was a fly.
Yeah. Go bite Bert Kincaid.
That's all right. Only thing that's wrong with him is he's a boss. Flies don't have bosses. Want some more ice cream?
Yeah, at least some for your mom.
Well, she don't like ice cream. Don't you want some more?
No, I'm full. Thanks.
We can set a couple minutes more. It's only 20 to 1.
Yeah.
No, I'm thinking about flies.
Are you crazy about flies today?
Well, I just stopped thinking about it.
Hey, what became of your dad?
He's out in the backyard. Gets hot. Likes to get under the coal shed. Keep cool.
Like you handled on yourself.
Wish I had a pet fly.
You're crazy.
Got a pet fly. Fasten a rope on him. Lead him around.
Many little bitsy rope you'd have to have.
Now, this would be a great big fly. Big as a dog.
What kind of a dog?
I like that old collar of Masterson.
If I fly that big bite you, you'd be ruined.
Looking at a fly with a magnifying glass. Look at this.
Yeah. I've seen one once.
got the meanest looking faces I ever seen.
Great big eyes.
Jillion eyes. Look at you from all over. Always washing their faces like a cat.
They carry germs.
Oh, sure. Germs, though.
Gee. Well, big fried sure be something.
Sure be a swell pet, though.
If you could tame him.
Oh, I'd tame him all right. Maybe the fly tamer. Be as big and strong as a bull. Have to put a big chain on him.
He'd fly away with you.
Maybe I could train him to take me places. Fly, you know.
Yeah, you should think of an educated fly.
Flies are smart.
Fly paper catchers and good old Tanglefoot boy.
You'll have to have an awful big piece of Tanglefoot to catch this old boy. Ain't that much Tanglefoot in the world.
There ain't no fly like that in the world either.
Oh, boy, if there was.
Didn't you hear the whistle? Come on, quite at once.
Yeah. I know what you'd feed a fly that big.
Have to feed them people, I guess. Come on, let's go. Now, remember, it was pretty near 3-4 months later. It was just getting kind of the first days of fall, and people were starting to burn dry leaves along the curbstone. Herb, you knew, was fixing a hot water heater for Frank and Edith Gibbons, the telegraph operator. Live out there where Washington runs into Court Street. Kind of cool that day, I remember. Mrs. Gibbons, she was jawing at us because she said we were so slow. She wanted that hot water heater fixed right this minute. She wanted to take a bath before the chicken pie supper at Christian Church. She had to put the icing yet on 2 devil's food cakes, and would we please hurry up? She was all of a tizzy. Well, finally Henry come with the reducer tea we was waiting for. Mrs. Gibbons, she went out to the kitchen to look at the cakes, and don't go banging things around and make my cakes fall, she said. I said, yes, ma'am, for about the 14th time, and she shut the door. I laid down my ball-peen hammer. I said, phew.
Me too.
Why can't women leave you alone?
Well, I get the union after her. She thinks she knows so much about plumbing.
Well, at least it's cool.
What's the matter?
Yeah, I got my elbow on the flypaper. My heavens, what she still got flypaper around for?
Yeah, let me do it.
Oh, got to take off the skin, too? Yeah, squirt me some gasoline on it. I got guck all over me. Ain't been any flies for 3 weeks. I need more gasoline.
I know where there's a fly.
Huh?
I know where there's a fly.
Well, why don't you swat him?
Well, 2 reasons. First, I kind of like this fly.
Like him?
Raised him from a pup.
Herbie.
Raised a fly from a pup? Second thing is, you want to swat this fly, you better have a baseball bat.
What?
This here fly is 8 inches long.
Huh?
Hand me the red lead.
How big?
Maybe 9. Where are you going?
Miss Gibbons.
What are you calling her for?
Miss Gibbons, call up the asylum. Herbie Butterworth is seeing flies 9 inches long.
Here, under the coal shed. Come on, Teddy. Here, Teddy boy. Here, Teddy. Come on, Teddy. Come on out there, boy. Come on, Teddy. Here, boy. Good dog. Come on, Ted. Ted! You hear me? Come on out of there. Come on now.
Dog.
Ted! Come on, boy. Teddy!
He's asleep, maybe.
What, with me hollering that way?
Well, maybe he ain't there. Maybe he's up.
There's two. I can see him. He's laying down in there. Here, Teddy. Here, Teddy!
Well, reach in and pull him out.
Come on, dog. Come on. What?
Huh? You ain't ever seen anybody. Anything, I mean, that a fly killed. No, I don't mean kill by putting germs on them or like that. I mean, well, murdered by a fly.
This here fly is 8 inches long. Maybe 9.
This here fly killed Teddy, that was Herbie Butterworth's dog, that was a hound dog that weighed 42 pounds on John Aper's scales the day before. This here fly, he just up and killed poor old Teddy. But maybe
Teddy was scared to death by the fly first. Because nobody in the whole great big wide world ever seen a fly that was 8-9 inches long. Nobody but first Herbie and then Teddy. And afterwards, me.
I ain't found him yet.
Maybe he got froze to death.
Kind of scares me, Buck. Don't it you?
He comes after me, I'll bat him on the head.
He'll come flying up to you. Come flying up. You won't even see his wings. You know how a fly's wings is. You can see through them.
Maybe he's froze to death. Flies can't stand cold weather. They die.
They don't always die. Sometimes they go into, what is it, a coma? When they get warm, they come to again. And then they're hungry.
Well, I think he's dead. Because we ain't heard about anybody croaking, you know, with a mystery. Not since Teddy. Hey, I can still see that dog.
Try not thinking about Teddy.
Maybe you ought to leave some fly paper around. Big hunks of fly paper.
I got fly paper all around the coal bin there where he was.
Heavy enough?
It don't have to be so heavy. He lands in a hunk of tangle-footed. It'll get all stuck to the hair and...
Hair?
Hair on his legs. Flies got hair on their legs.
Real hair?
More like bristles, like spikes, kind of. He get fly paper stuck in his legs, his wings. He ain't gonna go skittering around much.
Maybe he's dead.
Sure hope not.
Hope not?
Well, I kind of liked him. Till he ate up Teddy.
I'd be just as satisfied if I never get to see him. He must be quite a sight, though. Like looking at a fly through a magnifying glass.
Sure glad he only got to be 8-9 inches long. Hate to lose him. I could put him in a circus or a sideshow or something. Make $1,000,000,000. Take him up to Chicago. People would come from miles and miles around.
To a zoo just about, or a museum like that one. Where is it, New York?
Yeah, he was quite a thing. He used to eat mice. I went and caught mice and let him have them. I want to see what he'd do to a dead mouse.
Oh, thank you kindly. I seen what he'd done to Teddy. How'd you get him so big, Herbie?
Huh? Secret, Buck.
That so?
I bet if he'd lay an egg, the egg would be bigger. I mean, the puppet'd be bigger than he was.
Fly egg.
Bigger than a hen's egg it'd be. Bigger than maybe a turkey egg.
Maybe he's dead.
Yeah.
He comes after me, I'm going to shoot him, my old 12.
Ah, you couldn't hit a balloon with a bull fiddle.
You hit him all right. Hello, Louise.
How do you do? Hey, who's that, Buck?
I don't know, just moved to town from someplace in Ohio, Iowa, someplace.
Louise
McGinty, McKinney, something like that.
Where'd you know her?
Met her at Empire Hall, that dance the other night.
What dance? Social Athletic Club?
Uh-huh.
Well, night. See you at the shop in the morning.
So long. It's cold, ain't it?
Yeah, gonna snow. Feels like snow.
More busted water pipes.
Yeah. So long, Buck. Say at Louise, what's your name? That's something, ain't it?
Yeah, I feel like that there type.
I like it.
Say, Herbie.
What?
Listen.
What?
Listen, that great big fly of yours.
Yeah?
On the level now. Is there a great big fly?
Huh?
Couldn't you just be... Well, I just thought about it all of a sudden. I never seen this here fly.
You mean you think I'm just fooling?
I was wondering.
I was just making it up.
Was you?
No. I wasn't making it up.
I just wondered.
Listen, Buck. I never made that up. Listen, I wished I was. I wish I'd never started making flies grow big. I would have stopped when I got one this big. I wish...
I don't know whether to believe you or not.
Listen, Buck, when I think what that there fly... You remember way back last summer when we first talked about it? You said, what would you feed a great big fly?
Yeah.
Remember what you said?
What?
You said people. People, you said. That's what you'd feed them.
Oh.
yeah.
Listen, Buck, he already had a dog. That we know about. What if he ain't dead by now and all is cold? He must be...
Must be what?
Hungry.
December 1915. Air 76543, the third, the night Herbie and me talked like I told you. I remember because on the 7th, the Boy Scouts had a movie at the Capitol Theater. It used to be the Standard Theater. And there was a kid with a bugle blown it out front. That was the 7th. That was the night Bert Kincaid phoned me up from the shop and Mayor Watson came over from kind of next door and told me Bert was calling me. An hour later, Bert, he said, you and Herbie Butterworth go right away to these people, these McKinleys or McKinleys or McKinneys, whichever it was, because their friend or something was wrong with it and they was hollering they was freezing. And I should go right on over and Herbie would meet me there. He was already on the way with the rickets and the wagon and the tools. So I said, all right, and I went home and put on my overshoes and my army sweater, and I'm over there. See, the place is only two doors away from where Herbie lived, there by the Garfield School. That's why he was there already, see? I never even bothered to knock on the door. I just went around to the cellar door with my Coleman lantern, and I come on down, and Herbie was there already, sitting on the cellar steps, so I just about fell over him. Not looking very happy. Say, I said, I thought there was freezing to death here in this house with a busted furnace. It's not cold down here. It's warm, I said.
I fixed it.
Huh?
I fixed the furnace. This valve was corroded, and I put a new one on. And I fired up. It's all right.
Well, what you sitting on the cellar stairs for, then, if it's all fixed? What you sitting around here for?
Well, I...
What are you looking so crabby about? Anybody ought to be crabby, it's me. I walked halfway across town. I'm about... What you so crabby about? Huh?
She's down here.
Who?
Louise, you know, the McKinley gal, or whatever her name is.
Where?
Oh.
That's why I ain't welcome. Two's company, three's...
Shut up.
Gonna make some time, huh?
Shut up, she'll hear you.
Where is she?
I went back there in the preserve closet.
What for? Going to bring you a jar of apple butter?
The old man makes elderberry wine.
Ha
ha. Got some bottles back there he bought from Ohio or Iowa or whatever it is. 3 years old.
I sure like elderberry wine.
I know it.
Well, I tell you, Herbie, I'm a good guy. I'm your friend, Herbie. Seeing you got everything fixed up, I'll beat it.
You don't have to go.
I never stood in the guy's way, Herbie. I'll go out into the cold and the snow.
Ain't no snow.
I'll go right home and read B.C. Allensworth's editorials in the Times, and I'll leave the coast clear for you.
You don't have to do that, Buck.
Just as soon as I have one drink of elderberry wine.
No, there was a catch in it.
Now, I'll go right away, honest, Herbie. Hey, you've been telling her about giant flies and things.
Cut it out.
That thing's dead.
I guess so.
If it ever was alive. You got the makings?
Got some tailor-mades. Nebos?
Yeah, much obliged. Ain't you smoking?
Nah.
What's she doing, making that wine?
Well, a man probably hid it for herself.
You give her a good smacking if you find she's swapping. Probably give you a good smacking, too,
huh?
Why'd you yell at her?
The folks will hear upstairs.
Louise!
Shut up. Hey, Louise! Shut up, Buck.
Come on, let's go help her.
Nix.
Louise, you want some help?
Buck, the people will hear you.
In here? Hey, Louise. I thought maybe you needed some... Louise? Louise?
Buck, what's that?
Herbie.
What's the matter, Buck? Buck, what's that? Louise!
I could recognize her by her clothes. By her clothes, that's all. You never saw a person that met a fly. No, you never did. Herbie and I did. A big, not 8-9 inches long now, down in the hot, stuffy cellar. 2 feet long. And fat and kind of logy it was, dopey, like after you had a big dinner. And Louise, Herbie, he fainted, and I, back there by the furnace pipes. I could see them eyes. A jillion eyes. And that trunk-like elephant. It kind of buzzed and wiggled its eyes at me and rubbed its face with its paws like a cat washing its face after dinner. And I tried to holler, but all I could hear was this buzzing, that's all. And then it kind of stumbled out from the pipes and it jumped and it come right past my face and it flew kind of sagging, kind of out of the corner of my eye, I seen it. It flew right out into the furnace room and the furnace door was open and the fire... You don't want to hear anymore, huh? Well, there's only a little bit more. You've come this far with me, so... Well, they put us both, Herbie and me, in jail. They said we murdered Louise, but nobody could murder anybody like that. And there wasn't any other evidence, so... See, the fly was dead. Disappeared, and wasn't anything to go on. So they had to let us go. That's pretty near the whole story. Ain't it, Herbie?
The egg?
Oh, sure, I pretty near forgot about that egg. And about the egg. Bigger than a hen's egg. Big's a turkey egg. Back there in the dark behind the pipes.
I didn't see it. Buck seen it.
But I never told anybody about it. Did I, Herbie? Nobody but you.
And when they left us out of jail, we come back here looking for it, but it was gone. There was kind of a scrunching back there, and we looked, and sure enough...
Larva. They call it in the books.
You know...
And we took it away with us. And sure enough,
this one grew bigger than its father or its mother or whatever it was.
And everyone since then has got a little bigger and a little hungrier. Is that so, Herbie?
Yep. Hungry all the time. Never let him out to hunt.
Wait. Look at him. Ain't he a dinger? First real live pet fly you ever seen. Here, Louise.
We call him Louise.
Look at them eyes. Jillions of them. Look. He unrolls his trunk. Ain't that cute? Nice, clean face. See the sharp bristles on his legs? Biggest fly in the world. Bigger than a collie.
Bigger than a Shetland pony, I bet.
And hungrier, too.
Come on, Louise. Wake up. He's awake, Buck.
Uh-huh. Okay, Herbie?
Okay.
Go on in. Now, you I'm talking to.
You, he says. Go on in.
Go on in. Louise is hungry. That's it. What's the matter? Can't move your feet? Sure. You stuck in something? Used to call that stuff flypaper. We got a different name for it now. Yeah, no use trying to get loose. You're stuck for good. And Louise is hungry. Only hurt a minute, that's all. Careful, Louise, honey. Don't get your feet stuck in the man paper.
Cooper, and the man who spoke to you was Ernest Chappell. And my friend Herbie was played by Jack Lescully. As usual, music for Quiet Please is by Albert Berman, and the sound by William J. McClintock. Now for a word about next week's Quiet Please, here is our writer-director, Willis Cooper. Okay, Bill?
Thank you for listening to Quiet Please. We've got a story for you next week. Strange title of The Hat and the Bed and John J. Catherine.
The Hat and the Bed and John J. Catherine. Next week. So to next week at the same time, I am quietly yours, Ernest Chappell.
This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
That's our horror for today. If you want to hear more from Quiet Please, more horror, more old-time radio, just visit relicradio.com. You'll find all the shows listed right on the front page. You'll also find links to our forum, Shoutcast stream, and everything else Relic Radio. If you'd like to donate to the show, you can do so from the website as well. It's how this is all made possible. Thank you, as always, to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again Wednesday with another episode of The Horror. The Horror is produced by and for relicradio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.